Well, so, also, then, like, I've been an advisor, I've been a publisher, yeah. I've built advisory businesses, and I think that that gives me the unique perspective of really understanding, especially for independent advisors, like what their challenges yeah. are yeah. and how to help solve those pain points.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joanna Erisman.
And I'm Leah Alter.
And this is Women Share, a celebration of women in financial services.
Before we get into our episode today, we want to thank Extella, our presenting sponsor of Women Share. Extella is dedicated to helping financial professionals take their practices to new heights.
So if you're ready for a firm that goes an extra mile for its advisors, check out Extella today at go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.axtella.com/womenshare.
Oh, and we are in for a good one. So excited to today. We are joined by Abby Salome, Chief Growth Officer at RFG Advisory. Abby is an industry pioneer with over 25 years of building growth services for independent financial advisors. She was recognized as the 2023 WealthManagement.com Technology CMO of the Year for the work she did as CMO at Case. Now at RFG, Abby is set to drive advisor recruitment, marketing, and organic growth for RFG's existing network of advisors. Abby and I were colleagues, which seems like, I mean, a lifetime ago.
It's been a minute.
But I have followed her career and admired her work and commitment that she has to seeing financial advisors thrive. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, Abby. Welcome to Women Share.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I'm just so delighted to see you again after all these years.
Me too. Additionally, we have a little surprise for Abby today, too. Today's episode has a Pay It Forward sponsor, someone our guest, Miss Abby, is familiar with from our Fusion days. Talk about blast from the past.
Yeah.
And that is Fish and Associates, Kathy Fish and Carrie Jackson, where financial planning is all about you, your dreams, your passions, and your unique life journey. Forget the one-size-fits-all approach. At Fish & Associates, your financial plan is as diverse and dynamic as you are. Visit Fish & Associates at fishandassociates.com.
I love that so much. And thank you, Kathy. If you listen to this, I'm so grateful.
She will.
Yes. Well, and Abby, we're so excited to have you here. So you recently made a move to RFG Advisory to lead the marketing efforts that include helping advisors grow their businesses. So we just love to hear about how that's going, what you're most excited about. Tell us what's up at RFG Advisory.
Yeah, so thank you so much. And again, thank you for having me. I'm really appreciative. So I came over to RFG Advisory to really be their chief growth officer. So what that means is that not only am I managing all of the marketing, but I'm also managing growth for the entire organization. So whether that means recruiting new advisors to the RFG platform, or it means that we are looking to grow the existing advisors that are in the RFG community, those things fall on my lap. So when you think about the time-tested true ways to grow your business, my team is helping all of the advisors that affiliate with us on making sure that they are maximizing their organic growth potential. And at the same time, looking for other growth-minded advisors that are interested in being part of something bigger than themselves.
Wow. Love that. And what a great like scope of your role to, you know, oversee all of those channels together, right? Because it's really, I guess, integrated in terms of like bringing on the new advisors, giving them platforms and tools and support to help them grow, right? It's a symbiotic relationship. That's the term I was looking for.
Yes.
Symbiotic, right?
And the beautiful thing about it is that in most firms, what you'll see is like a chief revenue officer and a chief marketing officer, and they run silo businesses. And while that's great in some firms, combining it all at the top so that there's one person overseeing how sales and marketing work together, who understand that the integration between the two are really how you get that flywheel effect going, and who understands the marketing tools and the technology that help drive efficiencies for the salesperson to be able to then maximize their efforts in bringing in new business or bringing in new clients, or, you know, being the business development person at an advisory firm, or maybe it's just the advisor, him or herself, that's doing the rainmaking, so to speak. But making sure that those tools behind that person are in place, fully integrated and automated with the latest marketing technologies is really powerful. And that's what we're going to do.
Joanna and I, both being, you know, career marketers really in this industry, talking to other marketers, is it does kind of feel like sales and marketing are not often on the same page. So having a system and a process in place that keeps both groups in the same boat, rowing in the same direction, exactly, is so important.
Yeah. There's no room for misalignment, you know, because we're considered one team, and there's no bifurcation. It's all about how can we help that connectivity and make sure that there's complete alignment across both teams.
Well, so you've had such a wonderful career over the past 25 years, and you've worked in many different areas in the industry. So what drew you to financial services? What got you into the business? And I don't know, maybe some of your career insights that you've seen kind of from the different corners and angles that you've had the opportunity to see the industry from.
You know, I've seen this industry from all angles. So it's been a very well-rounded journey that I've been on. And I feel like this might be my swan song, what I'm doing today, and I'll explain why. But, you know, when I started out in financial services, I always knew that I did want to be in financial services. I don't know why. I don't know how that came to be. But it was always something that I was definitely attracted to. And when I joined financial services, you know, you got to think back to, it was the 90s. And, you know, my first firm that I worked at was Sanford Bernstein, which is now part of AllianceBernstein. And I won't ever forget that there was the policy, the handbook for, you know, working at the firm, and women had to wear stockings and 3-inch heels. And you had to be in a skirted suit that was like a certain level above your knee. Like that was the times when I joined financial services. And there were not a lot of women in financial services unless you were in admin. The executive assistants were women or the receptionist. So I did fall in love with it. And recognized very early on that I didn't want to be a financial advisor myself. And there were a number of barriers to me being young and single in New York City and trying to think about going out and, you know, selling or trying to bring in very high net worth clients. And, you know, I realized after 5-6 years that I wanted to try doing something else, which is when I ended up launching Investment News, which is a publication for financial advisors. And I did that alongside one of my dearest friends, Suzanne Syracuse, who remained the publisher for years after, and in fact, only till a couple of years ago. And that was a unique experience because I was still able to be in financial services and figure out ways with which we could support financial advisors through practice management, through peer-to-peer sharing, through news for that matter, because you have to remember at that time, we were selling a physical newspaper. There was no online anything. It was not the digital world. And, you know, Suzanne and I were out there selling advertising in a print publication. That's how we raised the money to eventually hire the reporters and the editors we needed for the publication. So, you know, looking at it from that perspective was super interesting. And I would say it was really fun to start that and to be in publishing, but I wanted to ultimately be back on the financial services side of the business. So, you know, I went to TD Waterhouse and stayed on through TD Ameritrade. And then, you know, having 3 kids in 4 years kind of derailed me a little bit because there was no hybrid work schedule back then.
Right.
I was on Wall Street and I had to be in the office 5 days a week. And it was not really a possibility if you wanted to have any part of your children's lives at that time to be on Wall Street as a female. And when we moved out of the city, I recognized very quickly that I didn't want nannies raising my children. So, you know, I quit and took a couple of years off to stay home, which, you know, was not necessarily the greatest thing for any of us in my household, because I was tired to love what I do and feel passionate about working. So the trick was to find something that could be a little more flexible, but that's not so easy in financial services, or at least it wasn't back then. You know, I think that's when you and I met, Leah, when I decided to go work with 2 guys that were good friends of mine, Stuart Silverman and Philip Polaviv, and started Fusion Advisor Network with them and, you know, got back into it. But it was a little more of a lifestyle than going back to Wall Street would have been. So, you know, I would say that having all of those different perspectives and then, you know, ultimately going to Case, where that was a fintech, you know, platform for alternative investments for advisors. Like, I feel like I've got a really good grasp on every side of this specific wealth management business, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, what a great career story. I didn't know all of those details. So just hearing it, like, my jaw's kind of hanging open in terms of you really have been in so many spaces.
Yeah, it's just so many varied parts of financial, like wealth management in particular.
But what a well-rounded view that brings you in what you're doing of, like, you know, as marketers, we need to think like publishers. You were a publisher, right? Like, you start.
Well, so also, like, I've been an advisor, I've been a publisher, yeah. I've built advisory businesses. And I think that that gives me the unique perspective of really understanding, especially for independent advisors, like what their challenges are and how to help solve those pain points.
Well, and you've also been, I think, like, at the forefront of a lot of very important moments, I think, in recent history, right? Investment news even when I got into the industry in 2010, once a week when the magazines got dropped off on the desks every week, like, that everyone had, like, literally time blocked on their calendar to make sure that they were up to speed. So that was such a powerful, it still is a powerful publication. And then, you know, with Fusion, really that was, you know, this idea about creating a community and a culture for like-minded advisors, that was just not something you saw really happening in other parts of the industry. And while that's very prevalent now, because it's so powerful, that just wasn't really a thing.
No, it was certainly early in its infancy. Like, it was early in this whole evolution of seeing these aggregators or these integrator firms that have now popped up everywhere, right? But that was certainly really early on, and it was really allowing for independent advisors to feel not so alone. And there's so much truth to that even today, which is something that I think is one of the core pillars of RFG and what kind of drove me to going back to this type of community-based advisory firm was because I truly believe that we are better together than we are alone. And for advisors to feel like they have support behind them, especially independent advisors, and that they have a family of people that actually care about them. To me, I knew that I needed to go back to that because that's what I really love. That's why I ultimately ended up coming back to this particular side of the business.
Before we get into our next question, our longtime listeners of the show know how passionate we are about the next generation of women advisors and investors.
And we are so proud to be partnering with Extella, who's providing resources for professionals through their efforts like the Nova Women's Collective, which enables members to network, connect, and gain insights from their peers.
So if you want to learn more, check out all they have to offer at go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.axtella.com/womenshare. Okay, so Abby, knowing now you're responsible for more than marketing, but with your experience, you know, as a marketing leader, we're curious to hear, what do you feel a modern marketing department needs to be successful in our industry? And are there any trends or practices that you're seeing that marketers should be leaning into or that they should definitely move on from? I'm just curious to get your take on what's going on with marketing these days.
Yeah, so it's so interesting because times have changed so much. Like if you think about the ways with which advisors used to market themselves in their local communities, they would mail out postcards and invite people to a seminar, or they would partner with the local business chapter, commerce, chamber of commerce, and do a meet and greet or a lunch and learn or whatever. And it's funny because those tactics haven't changed. Like there are advisors that are still super successful that are taking that approach. But now there's so many more modern ways to do it through technology. And yeah, what we have found is that the technology just helps drive the insights from the work that you're doing and helps you be a lot more prescriptive with your approach to target marketing. And you can actually see the results and manage your ROI a lot better. So, you know, when I think of what an advisor needs, or any firm for that matter, to be a true marketing engine, you know, they need the technology for their business, the marketing technology for the business that connects the pipes between a CRM, a digital marketing platform. And then also you need to really pay attention to the data, like the data that comes back through your website, through your emails, through your blog posts, through your social media. Like if you're not looking at the data to uncover the insights of what's working and what's not working, then you don't know what to lean into more, right?
Yeah.
So if you're doing an event, you know, sending the email communications out, doing the social post, putting it on your website, tracking where the registrations are coming from. And then once that's pre-event. And then once you're on site for activation, looking at who's actually at the event and then following up afterwards through some marketing automation, and then ultimately seeing what your ROI was, like how many of the people that actually came became clients after certain periods of time. So yeah, like leaning into the data for the insights that will help you be more successful, I think is something that, you know, wasn't there even 5 years ago. And then to further add to the newest and greatest kind of stuff that's out there, I would say that leaning into AI is also a really good opportunity. So there are a lot of tools out there today that can help you find your ideal prospects based on so much more than what we knew even 5 years ago, which is like, what are they reading and where are they going and what is their hobbies? And, you know, you can really target market based on specific and unique personality traits now, leveraging all of the modern AI technology.
Yeah. Well, and to your prior point too, then you can test and learn, right? And continue to refine. Cause I think marketing optimization is never done, right? It's an ongoing practice and belief. And one of my favorite anecdotes you mentioned, like a prospecting event as an example of, you know, carrying measurement all the way through. I feel like that's actually one of the biggest, not flashpoints I had when working with advisors in the past, but of, you know, an event like that where you're seeing the money being spent, you're seeing the food, the venue, that sort of thing. I would say get into healthy debates with advisors on the return on those. But when we could actually show them the ROI, like don't be distracted by the 10 people in the room that didn't convert. Let's look at the 5 that did, right? You know, and that ROI, because it's so easy to just make a judgment based on what you perceive in your emotion in the moment versus pausing and looking at the results. So,
yeah. And I mean, if one client is all you needed to pay for the whole thing and then make up for so much more, then, you know, you can set realistic goals. What do I need to deliver from this campaign in order to maximize the ROI? And you can actually measure that now. So that's super exciting to be able to be more prescriptive with the approach that we're taking.
Well, and you're speaking Joanna's love language when you talk about looking at data.
Not even looking at data, but like you have to have somebody who knows how to extract the data and then put it into beautiful visualization, because data just being data, like, you know, like somebody has to be able to visualize it so that you can tell the story and get the narrative out of the data that you're looking for.
That's right.
Yeah. It's more than data. It's the insights, right? And what did and sometimes the insight is, wow, we really learned a lot and we won't do X, Y, and Z again. Right. Exactly. It's not always like, here's our home run.
At least you know.
Yeah. It's sometimes just as important to know what doesn't work and what you don't like, as what does work and what you do like. I mean, 100%. Even your experience of being an advisor, you were like, okay, this is not for me. This is not what I want to do. That's just as important.
Yeah.
To know.
I would agree.
So organic growth is definitely a hot topic in the industry, and a lot of institutions are really focused on it. You know, I know that's something that RFG and your efforts there are also really focused on. So what are you guys doing to help advisors grow their business? And because we have so many advisors who are listeners of the podcast, any, you know, kind of hot tips for them?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. This is something that we hold really near and dear to our hearts. Like, what we do is lean in super heavily with our advisors. So even if they don't want the warm embrace, we are going to wrap them in the support, even if they don't ask for it. So if like you're an advisor and you don't want to be supported and you want to be left alone, we're probably not the place for you, because we really lean in and we want to understand your business and we want to understand your unique value prop and what you're aiming to achieve. And then we've got dedicated resources on our side that work with the advisors, not only on coaching and strategy, but then also on implementation and accountability. So from the marketing perspective, it could be everything from helping them absolutely get their branding stood up and in good form and with modern digital assets like websites and social media and, you know, all of that. And then we also work with them on identifying, you know, what they want to do for the year. So building out their marketing plan with them and then executing it in some cases on their behalf, if they don't want to do it or have somebody in-house who manages that for them, we'll do it for them, which obviously helps the organic growth. And then if they want to do it themselves, then we work hand in hand with whoever they have on their team to really make sure that they're maximizing all the tools and resources that are available. So we also have, you know, our chief behavioral officer who handles the human side of money, which is very emotional. And we've got a chief investment officer that spend their time, like 50% of their time is out with our advisors doing events for them, their client events, even prospect events, talking about what the markets are doing, talking about some emotional aspect of money, which is often, you know, if you think about family dynamics, that plays a big role. legacy stuff, trust and estate stuff. So, you know, we really work hard to make sure that our advisors have what they need to organically grow. Listen, if they don't grow, we don't grow. So it behooves us both to make sure that they're growing. And our advisors happen to be growing at 19% organically, which is like 3 or 4 times the industry average for independent advisors. So we're doing something right.
Something that really stood out to me is if they aren't going to do it themselves, we'll do it for them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a differentiator.
Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of like tools and resources that that organizations will provide their advisors, but it leaves the advisor to decide whether or not they're going to actually get involved or engage with that. And I think you guys being willing to like, here, we're going to help you build this marketing plan and we're going to execute this part of it for you.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I mean, look, I love advisors. I wouldn't be in this business if I didn't love advisors, but I know so many of them that left to their own devices, they revert back to like the referral process, which is great because referrals still are, you know, the hugest part of how an advisor grows their business. But imagine if you could amplify that. Imagine if you did a referral program or, you know, something that just lights it on fire a little bit. So that's what we're aiming to do is really for those that have a marketing disposition and are eager to lean into it, we're going to provide them with the tools and the collateral and the resources that they need to do it themselves. And for those that really don't, we're happy to take it on for them and just do it for them on their behalf.
Smart. Very, very smart. I could spend 15 more minutes digging in on that topic, but I know we don't have all that time. Okay. So Abby, we like to ask our guests about the best career advice they've ever received. So what's the best advice you've received in your career?
You know, I guess the best advice I ever received was probably just getting the understanding that nothing is permanent, right? And that this too shall pass if you're finding yourself in a struggling position. That's probably the best advice I have received. And that was probably from my mother, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't really work when I was growing up, right? But I think if I were to impart something on the young women in financial services today, what I would say is that it's really, there is no such thing as having it all. You can have it all in certain areas at certain times, but there's always an opportunity cost for that. And just know that, right? And that no leap of faith is the wrong decision because it ultimately always works out in the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, you know, we get all caught up in our feelings, and especially if you're a young woman and you're starting out and you're in financial services, you know, there could be concerns over having a family or raising a family or, you know, and the reality is that there's no right answer, right? It's what feels right to you at that right moment in time. And you can always change your mind.
Yes.
Yes.
You can always make a different choice.
You can always wake up a year later and say, you know what? I made the wrong decision. I'm going to do X now instead of the Y that I thought I wanted to do. And that's okay too.
Yeah. And like you said, because nothing is forever, right?
Yeah.
So you can always choose differently.
Yeah.
Love that. Epic permission. I think that is giving ourselves a permission slip to like whatever it is that we need in that season of our life.
Yes. And you don't always know that it's the right decision, but sometimes you just need to go with your gut and have faith that it's going to just all work out.
Love it.
I love that.
Now you're speaking my love language. We got them both
intuition. In. Yeah, we got them both in. Data and intuition.
There we go.
Yeah.
Like two totally different, like one is so peanut butter and jelly, and one is so artistic, right?
Yeah. Yes. Abby, this has been so much fun. Thank you again for for joining us and just sharing your career story. Blew me away, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So just really, it's been great to get to know you through this show. And I can see why Leah was like, Abby would be a great guest.
I'm so happy to be back here and so happy and love all the success I see from your side. So keep it up. We'll pay it forward. We got to, you know, encourage one another, lift one another up, and make sure that we're there for each other. So I'm grateful for the opportunity and really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Abby. Thank you so much for being here and for everything that you've done to blaze the pathways for women in this industry. We really appreciate you. And thank you again to our sponsor, Extella, a network of firms that go the extra mile for the next generation of women advisors and investors. For more information, you can visit them at go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.extella.com/womenshare. And that's really our show for today. So if ours is a mission that you want to share in, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, I'm Leah Alter.
And I'm Joanna Arisman, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Women Share.